In May of 1989, a group of Israeli and Palestinian women peace activists gathered in Brussels to look for common ground on the issues dividing their two peoples. 5 years and many meetings later, the women had developed a set of political principles they could agree on, and they had also established two independent women's centers, which have been working together on conflict resolution programs ever since. Sumaya Farhat Nasser was one of the founders of the Palestinian organization, the Jerusalem Women's Center. She just published a book called Daughter of the Olive Trees, A Palestinian Woman's Struggle for Peace. On a recent trip to Washington, she spoke about the many contradictions in her life as a Palestinian peace activist. Judith Smelzer reports.
Palestine is the land of the olive trees. They have left their stamp on the landscape, and to us they symbolize home and our ties to the land. We feel safe in their shadow. We admire and love them. We tend them and make songs about them. Olive trees are blessed trees.
Sumaya Farhat Nasser is a writer, an academic, and an activist. In all of those roles, she's passionately committed to nonviolence, but also to the end of what she sees as an unjust Israeli occupation.
As long as occupation there, it is also our right to resist. It is our obligation to resist. I resist also, but I do it nonviolently, and I will continue to resist in my way.
Her way involves talking to people on the other side, often in a painfully frank manner, to make them understand how difficult life is for her and other Palestinians under strict Israeli rule. Over a decade ago, she and other women on both sides of the conflict realized they had a unique opportunity to step up that kind of communication simply by virtue of their gender.
When it was coming at the surface and men talked to each other, they were put in prison. Because usually men are taken very seriously, especially in politics, yeah, and they must be punished if they break the law. But if we women break the law, they consider us in the first line, we are women. This weakness they thought we have, we consider it as our strength. And we said to ourselves, we have to be there, where men are not allowed to be there.
It was that realization that led to the series of meetings in Brussels that ended in the formation of the Jerusalem Women's Center on the Palestinian side and Bat Shalom on the Israeli side, two women's organizations that continue to work together on conflict resolution programs. But their work has been much more difficult since the start of the new Intifada and the resulting restrictions that Israel has placed on the Palestinian people. Because of the strict travel restrictions, Sumaya has been forced to give up her position with the Jerusalem Women's Center as she's unable to travel into the city from her nearby village. She says one of the biggest problems in the region is that the two sides simply don't understand what completely different worlds they live in. For example, most Israelis have no idea how hard it is for Palestinians to get around. In her book, she gives the example of an Israeli friend of hers who invited her to come for a visit.
He said, "You just need to get a taxi to Beersheba and I'll collect you there." "I am not allowed to move more than 2 kilometers from here," I answered, "and I'd have to get through at least 15 checkpoints on the way to Beersheba. If I were to arrive there at all, I'd be committing a punishable offense. I'd even be putting my life at risk." He couldn't believe it. He said that he could travel anywhere and didn't have to stop at the checkpoints. "You belong to the group which I don't belong to," I said to him. "You can drive along roads which I am not allowed to use. You have a car with number plates which I am not allowed to drive with."
Because of inequalities like this, she says, many of her fellow Palestinians believe she's wasting her time working for peace. She says a large number of them feel betrayed by the peace process, which in their view has promised so much but delivered very little.
Instead of seeing our land liberated, the occupation ended, that a Palestinian state, what we aspire to, have been established, we thought it would be, we have seen that much more land have been taken away, much more suppression, much more deportation, and terrible things are happening. So many people in my country lost the faith in one day peace could be coming.
Sumaya feels that frustration deeply, and it seeps through into her writing, but she hasn't given up on exchanging ideas. One passage in her book is devoted to a letter exchange she had with one of her Israeli counterparts named Daphna.
Dear Daphne, I think it's the first time that I ever write Dear Daphne. You see, I can't do this easily, recognizing as I do that you like it, and as long as our words remain private. But as long as our relationship and our sphere of joint work is official and political, as long as an enormous asymmetry continues to exist between our peoples, one being occupier, the other occupied, it remains unacceptable to address you as my friend. And Daphne responded, Dear Sumaya, you wrote that you could call me dear Daphne in private, but not in public. You are very dear to me, both in public and in private. And it is hard for me to accept that you can address me as dear Daphne in private only. I accepted this position of the enemy for 10 years. I cannot take it anymore. I regret not being able to feel guilty all the time, but I just don't want to be the other, the Israeli, the oppressor, the occupier. I am Daphne.
As that exchange illustrates, the frustration runs deep on both sides. But the important thing, in Sumaya's view, is to keep telling the truth, no matter how hard the truth might be to hear or to read. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser in Washington.